Welcome to the 599 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. Now here's your host, Craig Irwin, Toby Tullis, and Trent Hart. Good evening. Welcome to the 599 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Trent Hart. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs hot box. Trent Hart in the Porter's Processing Swamp box, Trent. And we have your right-hand man, the man that makes your broadcast sound good, Alex Altman.
Fortunately that.
On the show this week. So got a trifecta going on as the mysterious Toby Tullis is no longer available.
No show, Toby.
No show. He got that name for a reason, but he did show up. He finally texted us, what, Saturday evening, afternoon, mid-afternoon? He went to the Huntsville game up in Waco.
Yeah, and that was the last we had heard from him all weekend.
Yeah, he's been MIA, Alex, ever since then. And so I don't know what to say. He brings really some good knowledge, but yet, I don't know how good that knowledge is whenever he's not around, you know, so not
think,
throwing it
I
out
think there. His feelings got hurt, not just on Pick'ems, but I think it was the Huntsville loss too. I know how much he loves Huntsville.
He has been on that Huntsville wagon pretty hard this year, and rightfully so. And to lose, Alex, in that 5A Division I, we've talked about it. I know you listen to the show each and every week, but we've talked about that district. There, that Huntsville, PNG, Nederland. I mean, that's just like a murderer's row over there, you know.
It absolutely is. And, you know, I was talking to Craig, I was talking to Trent, you know, before our broadcast on Saturday. I really felt like Huntsville was going to give South Oak Cliff a run for their money. And I was surprised by the final. I thought that they were really going to have a strong chance. I thought that was actually going to be an upset. But there's a reason that South Oak Cliff is perennially such a good program and continuously makes deep runs in the playoffs. So you got to take your hats off to them. Huntsville had a very good season, defeated some teams that some people didn't think that they would. So, you know, it's one of those things, just ran into a monster.
And I agree. And you look at this bracket in 5A Division 2, and you look at the overall bracket, you got South Oak Cliff defeated Huntsville 38-7, which really was a shocker. Marshall beats Middle Lothian Heritage 21-12. Texas High over Crandall 58-28. PNG over Kauffman 42-21. That game played Thursday night at Randall Reed Stadium, a game Toby was at as well. But out of Region 2, but you jump over to Region 3, you got Richmond. Randall has now pretty much coasted all the way into the regional semifinals with their win last week over Elgin 79-0. Richmond Randall now sitting in the regional semifinals, had a barn burner between Brenham and Liberty Hill, a game that I was paying close attention to the other night, as Brenham moves on with a 30-27 victory. And we talked about Brenham early on in the show, guys, as Brenham gave Huntsville a run for their money. But Brenham moving on to face Richmond Randall this week, and we're going to talk about that game a little bit later on. And then Fort Bend Marshall and Iowa Colony on the bottom side of Region 3 going to head off this week in the regional semifinals.
Yeah, Iowa Colony was actually trailing Pflugerville early in that ball game.
And it wasn't until the second half till they really broke loose.
Really turned it on in the second half. I actually had Liberty Hill defeating Brenham. As you can tell by the score, it was a close ball game. But Brenham seems to be for real. And Richmond Randall, that game is going to be very good, as I think it's going to be their first real test here in the playoffs.
And, you know, just kind of talking about and kind of an introduction aspect for Alex here on the show, as it's his first week coming on the show with us. But, Alex, you got a rich history with North Shore, right? You're a diehard Atascocita fan, but yet you broadcasted North Shore for a very long time, you know, doing the broadcast there. Now over with Anahuac, you went from Atascocita, which is when you was in Atascocita. Atascocita wasn't the program that they are today, right? And then,
well, Atascocita was actually before my time. I went to Humble High School when there was just two high schools in Humble ISD. It was Humble and Kingwood.
Yep.
I grew up in Atascocita. So once they opened that high school, which was, I believe, 4 years after I graduated,
so
I
that
kept
was
up with
in
that
like
program.
68, 69?
Who are in that program.
Was that what, in 1968 or 69?
69.
Okay. That's what I was thinking.
But, yeah, so I started broadcasting high school sports in 1998. And I was first in District 21-5A, which used to be the Aldine schools, Spring, Westfield, Humble, and Kingwood, which was always a fun district. And, so I broadcasted them for, about 5 years, and then, went all around Houston and then settled into North Shore for about another 5-6 years after that. But quite a bit of high school football and at least a while back basketball and baseball as well.
So it's fair, Trent, that we call Alex the GOAT on the show.
Well, he's definitely got the years on us, right?
No, he does. And you know, I love listening to y'all's broadcast because Alex, the way as articulate as what he is with his words and his play-by-play with what he does there on Anahuac Sports Live, calling the Anahuac in now on into the postseason. It's great to listen to. I enjoy sitting back in the background whenever I'm able to show up to y'all's games and hear Alex call a game. It's like I just sit back and just enjoy myself and because he does such a good job, and his vast knowledge of Texas high school football adds to that as well. And Alex, we appreciate you coming on the show this week. So hopefully it's something we can build and maybe get you in a little bit more. I know you're busy with the softball as well.
If it's not softball, it's baseball. And the few weekends that I get to actually take care of stuff at the house is kind of nice. But no, I definitely enjoy talking shop with you guys, and I'll definitely be around when I can be.
Well, we're looking forward to having you more and more, especially as the postseason rolls on. Here on the 590 Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. So, you know, there was some really good games this last week. I went over to Friday night. I took Thursday night off. I stayed home. It was just one of them weeks. You know how you have them just really mental weeks at work and you just got to take a break? And I did that Thursday night. And then Friday night, me and the CEO, we went to Madisonville and watched Lovelady and Madisonville play. And I want to highlight this kid, and Terrence Scott is his name, and from Bremont. And you're talking about a heck of an athlete. Heck of an athlete. So he's a junior this year. There's three Scott boys on this Bremont football team. You have one's a junior, one's a sophomore, and one's a freshman. And as we were watching the game, I was sitting on the Lovelady side, as I know a lot of the kids, some of the kids over there. I don't want to say a lot. I know some of the kids, some of the coaching staff over there for Lovelady. And so I sat on the Lovelady side, but defensively, whenever there was some tackles made, it was literally broadcasted from the house announcer as the Scott trio. There was three of them, all three of them, junior, sophomore, and a freshman in on the tackle multiple times. But the oldest one that we're talking about is Terrence Scott. He's a junior and graduates next year or in the following year, right? Plays football and basketball. His freshman year, he had 49 carries for 441 yards. Sophomore year, 161 carries for 1,624 yards. And then going into, as they're still playing, because they defeated Lovelady this last week, I think 32-14 was the final. He's had 155 carries for 1,458 yards, averaging 9.4 yards per carry. And that's just in 2A Division II football, that's just stout numbers. And this kid was doing it on both sides of the ball, offensively and defensively, which makes him stand out even more. And on the roster, if you look on the roster and you look at him, he's number zero. It's labeled Tank Scott. And he is a tank out of the backfield. Kid is absolutely legit. Should probably go on and play at the next level. And I wanted to bring him up here on the 599 Sports Show. Just down the road, when people, when we're talking about football players and stats and so on and so forth, and y'all can say y'all heard his name, Terrence Scott, first here on the 599 Sports Show, because he's going to be something special.
What did you say? Was he a junior or sophomore?
He's a junior this year. He's got a brother a sophomore and one that's a freshman. So they're going to be toting this Bremon team for a couple years.
Well, I don't know what it is about Bremon that they've continuously been able to spit out athletes over there. And I think when you and I were talking about, you know, this matchup, and I mentioned that Bremon has been very consistent over the years, and I pulled it up here. So their playoff record, 80-31-2, which is that's a very lopsided number as far as wins versus losses. 19 10-win seasons, and they have won the state title four times. Three-peated in 2014, 15, and 16. All three of those years, they went undefeated.
So you talk about a state title, and you talk about – we talk about 2A Division II. And I had to pull it up because what we haven't talked about, and what we will, Alex, is Mark falls to Overton this week in the area round of the playoffs. So I was looking forward to the Lovelady Mark matchup coming up in 2 weeks. That's not going to happen. Lovelady's out. Mark's out. Now you're looking at Grapeland and Overton here in 2A Division I Region 3. Bremon and Mount Enterprise going on, facing off this week, and we'll talk about those games a little bit later on. So for the first time in a number of years, you're not talking about Mart, you're not talking about Lovelady going into the regional semis and then a regional quarterfinal matchup, and this is the first time in a couple years that we haven't been able to talk about Mart and Lovelady going into the regional quarterfinals. Or excuse me, the regional finals.
Yeah, I mean, we fully expected that Mart team to be way further than this, and that's probably one of the biggest upsets in the state is Mart falling. And you talk about playoff records. I mean, in state titles, you know, Mart is always in the conversation. You know, Kevin Hoffman over there. You know, he's been there for what, over 10 years now.
Yeah, he's been there for a long time. So you sit there and. Might as well dive into it. You look at this 2A Division One, or Division Two, excuse me. You got Grover and Tioga, Ropes, Wink, matching up out of Region One, Collinsville and Winthorst, and Albany and Munster over in Region Two. And then you got Shiner and Granger in Region 4, Junction, Somerville in Region 4. Then you go up to Region 3. You got Grapeland Sandys, who was the number 2 seed out of this district behind Lovelady, taking on Overton. And Grapeland was the 3 seed, excuse me. They was the 3 seed coming out of District 11, 2A Division 1. They defeated West Sabine 42-20. They defeated the 4 seed, Goldwaith, 39-29 last week, and they're set up to face Overton. So I really feel
like... And don't forget that Goldwaith beat Mart in the last district game of the season. I don't know if Mart set its starters in that game, but that's worth noting.
No, most definitely. So you got Grapeland and Overton this week in the regional semis, and then Bremont and Mount Enterprise out of Region 3. I would almost go on a limb and say that I feel like that the state champion is going to be Bremont out of 3A Region 3, or excuse me, 2A Division 2 Region 3.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at those teams, you could almost have all four out of 11-2A there, but the top seed Lovelady getting knocked out, you still have the second, third, and fourth seed all sitting there. So those are going to be some fun matchups, and I don't have any reason to doubt your opinion on Bremont, as they have been very solid. And I think they're going to have their hands full with Mount Enterprise, but that's going to be a fun game coming up this week.
No, it will be a fun game. Most definitely. It's going to be one that I have tagged in my favorites to be able to keep an eye on that game as we progress on, excuse me, this next week. Oh, Thanksgiving week on top of that. Looking into it. I know last year, Thanksgiving week, Alex, you were out, and I got called in from the bench and went with Trent all the way up to Crowley ISD Stadium to do a couple football games up there. And a lot of fun as you stayed home over the Thanksgiving holidays. And it worked out for Trent because he was up in that net neck of the woods. Instead of it being a 4-hour drive, it was only a 3-hour drive for him to get over there to Crowley ISD Stadium. But I remember Thanksgiving weekend last year, making the trip up there and doing a duo of games Trent and I did, and was a lot of fun in the postseason. So dropping up,
and that brings us that brings us to 2A Division I, and a team that we covered in that week falling this last week.
Most definitely, go ahead and run with it.
So you start with your 2A Division I, and you can go down to Region 4. Marlin fall. Let's see. Marlin actually won 35-14 over Schulenburg. Mason beat Weimar 56-28. Ganado beat Crawford 59-0. Refugio 51-14 over Thorndale. That puts Marlin versus Mason, the old Mason punchers. We brought up the puncher dome in the stadium topic that we did last year. But they'll take on Mason Friday at Cedar Park's Gumpton Stadium. Ganado will take on Refugio 7 o'clock Friday at Port Lavaca's Sand Crab Stadium. That's an interesting one. I have to look that Sand Crab Stadium up.
Yeah, it's very small.
That's one of my top five mascots in the state of Texas.
Yeah, the Sand Crabs. I've been by that stadium, haven't been down there. I put an elevator out in a bank right there across the street from that stadium. So I've been down there, haven't watched a football game, but I have been to the stadium because my love for Texas high school football, I rolled off up in there and had to take a look at it.
In Region 3, you got Honeygrove that beat Hearn 36-7. Wascom beat Garrison 13-9. Shelbyville over Beckville put us up a 75 spot. 75-48 was the final over there. Joaquin beats Cooper 32-24. And in the semifinal matches, that's Honeygrove versus Wascom, 7:30 Friday at Mount Pleasant's Parker Stadium. Shelbyville will take on Joaquin, 1 o'clock p.m. Friday at Henderson's Lions Stadium. One of two games that will be going on at Lions Stadium next week.
I'm going to tell you, if you're looking for somewhere to go, with it being the holiday season, and Henderson is a place to go. Really neat town. They got the Polar Express railway that runs out of there. So if you're wanting to go catch a football game and then take the kids to on a train ride, that's definitely a place to go, is up there in Henderson to check that out.
Region 2 is kind of a region in 2A that I'm kind of familiar with. Hamilton beats Frankston 27-14, and then you've got Tioga. That's the one that fell. We covered the Tioga-Marlin game last year at Crowley ISD. Cairns beat them 33-22. Axtell beats Coleman 45-6. Mildred defeats DeLeon 30-20. Hamilton will face Karen. And am I, is that, is it Karen's? Karen's.
I got
2 p.m. Friday.
I got to pull it back up, but it's, I mean, we don't want a Karen. You know what I mean?
That's why I was questioning it. But 2 p.m. Friday at Weatherford's Kangaroo Stadium, Axtell will take on Mildred. 3 p.m. Friday at Robinson's Rocket Field. That brings us to Region 1, where Sunray defeats Holly 49-40. Host beat Anson 42-35. Cisco beats Abernathy 38-19. And Stanford beats Panhandle 49-13. Sunray will take on Post. They're both 12-0. 7 p.m. Friday at Lubbock's Patriots Stadium. Cisco 8-4 will take on Stanford 12-0. Friday at Abilene's Shotwell Stadium. It looks like that the state, probably the state champion, will be probably coming out of Region 1, is my prediction for this 2A Division 1.
You know, and that's the cool part with all of this, being able to go through and you kind of, Alex, you kind of look at these brackets as they roll through it, and it's, at this point in the playoffs, you can almost predict who's going to win that state title, you know, especially if you go back and you look at yardage and game stats, so on and so forth. You can almost pick who's going to be in that state championship game and almost predict who's going to win that state championship.
Yeah, you know, the brackets really become clear as mud, right?
Yes.
You start to see the cream rising to the top. The matchups become that much better. But you also see who is really dominating. And like you said, Trent, Region 1, those teams, you know, Sunray, a fantastic team out of Region 1 that has a good pass. Cisco coming in as the fourth seed out of 4-2A, you know, making some waves there. You said that they had mentioned Abernathy. Fun story about Abernathy. I broadcasted in 2000 their girls state championship winning basketball game at University of Texas. So I've always been partial to Abernathy. But that Cisco-Stanford game, I really feel like Stanford should have their way with Cisco to move on. I am expecting Stanford and Sunray to meet up in the regional finals there out of Region 1.
Yeah, for sure. Now, 3A Division 2, do you want to take that one, Craig?
Well, let's take a quick break here on the 5-9 okay. Sports Show. We're like 24, 25 minutes into this. Let's take a
Already?
Quick, yeah, I mean, time flies when you're having fun. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will dive into 3A Division 2 and then work our way up, take another break, and then wrap this thing up. So we'll see how things go. You're listening to the 5-9 In Sports Show, powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this.
From custom processing, professional guide in hunts, high tanning, and gator merchandise, Waters Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Waters has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full-service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Waters Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to WatersProcessing.com or call 409-267-8413.
Welcome back to the 5-9 In Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Trent Hart, Alex Altram in the Randy Trubbs Hot Box. Porter's Processing Swamp Box, brought to you by Texas Podcast Media and Bullfrog Environmental here on the 5-9 In Sports Show. Alex, welcome in. Your first week here on the 5-9 In Sports Show.
Thank you. Glad to finally be in the Hot Box with you guys. And, you know, like you said, Division 3A Division 2 playoffs have so far, and some good matchups coming up.
Now, very good matchups coming up here in 3A Division 2. As you scroll down, you look, we'll start over at 3A Division 1. Division II. You look at Canadia and Idaho and facing off this week. Canadia coming off a 63-35 win last week. Idaho coming off of a 52-14 victory over Stanton last week. Then you have Littlefield and Wall meeting up. And I really feel like Canadia and Wall are going to be the two teams that you see in the regional finals here this next week after we get through the semifinals and Thanksgiving dinner. They're in Region 1. Dropping down into Region 2, 3A Division 2, you're looking at Toller and Holiday squaring off. Toller coming off of a shutout victory over Bells last week. 21-0 was the final there. Holiday coming off of a 42-34 victory over Blue Ridge as they will look to take on Toller this week. And we'll recap kind of where all of these games are being played a little bit later on. Gunner and Jacksboro will face off in Region 2. Jacksboro coming off of a 62-34 victory. Gunner coming off of a 45-14 victory this last week. Moving over into Region 3, where we really have a lot of interest in Woodville. Trent, a team you and I have been talking about all year long. We've got to see, Alex, you as well. We've got to see this Woodville football team one against Anahuac, and then yet I got to see them a couple weeks later against Cold Spring. Coming off of a 48-21 victory over Grand Saline last week, and they're going to be facing off.
Number five Grand Saline.
Yes. They're going to be facing off against DeKleb, who defeated Troop last week, 40-34.
We mess up that name a lot. Is it DeKalb? Is what it is?
DeKalb.
We'll go with the okay. Expert Alex on this one here in the regional semifinals. But going to be a really good football game. We'll talk about locations here in a little bit. Dangerfield versus Newton. Dangerfield defeating New Diana 42-35 last week. Newton on a big win over Edgewood 84-42. That's the most points I've seen put up in the area round of the playoffs, Trent, this year as I was scrolling through all of the brackets. Then you drop down into Region 4. Van Vleck and Tidehaven will square off. Van Vleck coming off of a win over Catula, 35-14. Tidehaven coming off a win over Dilley, 56-14. And then on the very bottom right-hand side of the bracket, if you're looking at it, Poth and Lexington will square off. Lexington coming off of a 76-0 win over George West. And then Poth defeating East Bernard, 15-13, in a very poor baseball score.
That ain't no joke.
Nah. I mean, like you said, when you look at Region 3, selfishly, I really want to see Woodville and Newton square off again in the regional finals.
We all do.
Woodville's so athletic. The three of us have been able to see him this year. Dangerfield is a solid football team, but I think Newton will be able to handle them. You know, the question is, how will Woodville take on DeKalb? Because that has been a perennially very good football team as well. I think either matchup you get, whether it's Woodville or DeKalb versus Newton, is going to be a very solid football game. But like I said, you know, definitely want to see Woodville take on Newton there in the regional finals.
That would be there's several opportunities right throughout the state whenever you look at Region 2 and Region 3 and really all the way across the state where you can see some district matchups reintroduce themselves here in the playoffs. And this is one of those games that we definitely would love to see. And Trent, you and I talked about it off the air and everything else about what if the what if factor, if Woodville and Newton were to meet up, knowing that Newton won that football game back in the in district play.
Well, I mean, I was just, you know, obviously we're going to want to go call that game if it happens, right? Number one. Number two, my question was where that game could be if it manifests itself. Are we talking about Beaumont? Lamar? Are we talking about maybe Lamar? Beaumont High School, or Beaumont ISD, that stadium over there by Ford Park.
Yes.
I mean, that could be a possibility. Or they try to stay somewhere up north. Maybe they try to go to Henderson as well. But, you know, Woodville playing at Henderson, that's the second game that's going to be played there this week. We mentioned the other one earlier. But you were pulling it up. What was the Woodville-Newton score?
Woodville-Newton score. Newton gets the win 34-15 back on the week of October 11th.
Yeah.
So.
And if you guys remember, Newton started off the season a little bit slow. Yeah. But they've come on and really figured things out. And it looks like they're hitting on all cylinders at the right time.
Now, most definitely, and Newton has always been that program to where they, I don't want to say start slow, but as they progress on, they get so much better in the regular season, and it's like they peak in the playoffs at the right time.
Yeah, they always seem to. I mean, I went to the Tomato Bowl last year to cover this this exact football game between Woodville and Dangerfield. Dangerfield got over on them, and you know, I'm sure that Newton is looking to really get some revenge and not be stalled out in this portion of the playoffs this time.
Well, you look
as
at
I
the,
go to my texts.
If you look at the amount of points that Newton has put up in the postseason, late in the season and into the postseason, Newton, it's like they're really ginning at the right time, as we said, is. They beat last week Edgewood, 84-14 was the final. The week before, they defeated West Russ 60-24. Now, granted, that was a 1-seed, 4-seed playing each other. But then you go over and you look at what Newton has done all year long. As they get into district play, you look at it, the least amount of points they put up was against Woodville in district play. Behind that, Tatum was the least amount. Well, go back to West Orange Stark, week one, 38-8 victory. West Orange Stark wins, and then they lose to Jefferson 47-38. Tatum, 32-30 football game. Then they go over to D. Ritter. They lose that one 36-46. But from there on out, they've been perfect. And the biggest thing that sticks out is the amount of points they have allowed, even only allowing Woodville 15 points, right? That was the most points throughout district that they gave up, and that was to Woodville. New Waverly put 14 up. I would be willing to bet if you looked at the box score, that was a solid fourth quarter where New Waverly put 14 points up. But as you scroll down and you look at it, they shut Trinity out. They shut Warren out. West Rusk in the first round of the playoffs only put up 24 points, and then Edgewood putting up 42 against Newton. I think Newton has peaked at the right point, much to your what you had to say, Alex.
Well, I mean, when you're talking about Newton and their offensive prowess, yeah, they're putting up the points, you know, 84 points. That's a lot of points to score in a football game. And they are being able to take advantage of what they do best. Now, again, I think that revenge factor that Trent brings up is so important, especially for the psyche of the kids that were there last year as juniors or even sophomores. Trent and I had that game just this weekend that was a revenge game. Or no, I'm sorry, it was last weekend. So, you know, you see this type of effort that comes out in these type of ball games. And like I said, I thoroughly believe that Newton will take care of Dangerfield. I don't even think it's going to be necessarily that close. I think Newton is going to boat race him and move on to the next round.
So the biggest thing I feel like to look at out of this matchup is it's really looking at the possibility of having a Region 3 District 12 rematch in the regional finals between Woodville and DeKalb. Whenever you look at this, and Woodville, like I say, they are so deep athletically. You know what I mean? We've been able to see that firsthand. And just what are they going to be able to do this week against DeKalb? That's the big question, right? Woodville 10-2. Trying to pull DeKalb up, and every time I try to pull them up, I do it wrong because it's actually two words instead of one. But I kind of want to look at their record overall. They're 11-1 overall, and you look at who they've played. They beat Mineola, Pittsburgh. They lose to Jefferson. Harmony, they beat them. Hugh Springs, Dangerfield. That's a common opponent right there. 30-28 victory over Dangerfield. And they walk through the rest of their district to where they are in district play, or excuse me, in the postseason. And I say Dangerfield, I believe Newton had played Dangerfield early on this season. No, I'm wrong on that too. Shoot, I'm striking out. Might as well just go sit back in the dugout, guys.
Really quick, Craig, how far are we into this segment?
We're about 13 minutes.
Let's take a quick break. We got some things to talk about and during this break.
Okay, let's take a quick break. We'll come back to the 590 Sports Show right after this.
Howdy, folks. Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Bullfrog Environmental has 16 years of erosion control experience. From silt fence to construction entrances, we specialize in it all. Give us a call at 936-672-3744 or leap over and visit us on the web at bullfrogenvironmental.com.
And welcome back to the 590 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Trent Hart. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs hot box. Trent Hart over there in the Porter's Processing Swap box. Alex Outram down there in Anahuac. We'll call that the Porter's Processing Swamp box as well. As
I'm down here in the swamp.
Yeah, your elevation is a little bit higher than what Trent's is. Would you concur?
That is true. Since I'm technically in Wallaceville.
Yeah, you're like living high on the mountain, right? So, but man, been a good show. A little depressing for Trent and ourselves as trying to figure out where we're going to go for the postseason. Thanksgiving week is upon us, and would like to remind everybody that we hope y'all have a great Thanksgiving and spending time with family and friends and Texas high school football. Right?
Yeah, can't wait to use that Randy's Rub this week.
Dude, I'm telling you, it don't suck, y'all. And I just posted shared a video over there on the 590 Sports Show of a big turkey that Randy was putting together. So y'all need to go check it out. Go follow his TikToks as well. He puts what he does on TikTok, he does on social media. But just go follow his TikTok page. There's a lot of good stuff going on there. He does some lives there as well on TikTok Live. So it's a lot of fun. But man, we've been talking Texas high school football. We started out 2A Division 2. We're up to 3A Division 1. As we cut the last segment short a little bit, Trent had some issues we had to deal with. Got that lined out. Now we're
kind of lined out. We're still kind of in limbo. And just to let everybody, let's just put it out there. I mean, yeah. We were trying to figure out where we're going to be broadcasting this next week. We had high hopes, right? The Newton Dangerfield, they're going to be playing in Natchitoches, Louisiana, which is a storyline in itself for Texas high school football games to be played in. Northwestern.
Hold up. Let her know we're going to do that game. Let's just go do it, guys. How many times in our career of volunteering, doing stuff, how often will we ever be able to say we went and did a Texas high school football game in Louisiana?
Probably never.
Let's go do it. We'll carpool up there. I mean, I don't care. I'm 100%. I'm all in. I'm all in to go do that game. Alex, I mean, seriously, it's going to be a good game. Newton and Dangerfield, right? 2 o'clock kickoff. And then behind that, we
1 o'clock kickoff.
Excuse me, 1 o'clock kickoff. Then behind that, we get to sit back and enjoy on the the big purple wave. We get to sit over there with PNG and watch that football game.
Yeah, I mean, we'd actually be. I mean, I guess we could just stay up in the press box, and watch that game for PNG Texas High.
And then
it's tempting. It's tempting. Hold up. I can't say that it's not.
Hear me out. We do the Newton Dangerfield game this week. Woodville beats DeKalb. Then we get to go do the Newton Woodville regional final football game. How big is that?
That's big. I mean, you know, that regional final, that regional final is going to be fun.
I just got an update and that if that manifests itself, Newton versus Woodville, there's a good opportunity for us to cover that football game. So,
bite the bullet. Let's do it.
We'll probably have to talk more over about that in the next break, for sure. I am tempted, though. I'm not gonna lie. I'm tempted to do it. You know, we get good support out of Newton all the time. You know, and we do. That is a haul. It's a 3.5 hour trip, which means that we would, you know, have to get up there
early,
2 hours ahead of game time.
Yep.
For me, anyway. So that's 11 o'clock, and that means that we'd have to leave, you know, 7:30-ish, somewhere in there.
It's worth every penny of it. It's worth the drive. It's worth doing. I'm just saying, and then you follow up with the PNG game right behind that, and we ain't even got to that side of the bracket. I'm just telling you, I'm all in.
Let's debate that over the next break, and let's get through the rest of 3A Division I.
As much as I'm about Monty Jack Driscoll, I would love to go do a game in Louisiana just to put that on my resume.
So that was the other option to everybody that's listening, is the Bremond versus, what was it?
Mount Enterprise.
Mount Enterprise.
At Monty Jack Driscoll.
That's the other option for us to go this week. So that's what we were going back and forth about. And, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see, I guess.
We'll see what happens here.
Let's go 3A Division I, Region 1, right? Shallow Water and Vernon squaring off this week. Vernon defeated River Road 28-7. Shallow Water over Peaster. My nephew's little brother goes to school in Peaster. Peaster, their road through the playoffs, they defeated Comanche 33-30 in overtime in the bi-district round, lose to Shallow Water 41-21 in the area round of the playoffs. So that's that region squaring up. And then you move down into Region 2, Liberty Elihu defeated Pilot Point 57-7. Winsboro, oh, Sleepy Joe, got to talk about him. Defeats Palmer 48-7. So they're going to take on Liberty Elihu in the regional quarterfinals. Malakoff over Maypearl 70-7 last week. And Jefferson over Grandview, the Zebras, 62-18. So Malakoff and Jefferson squaring off, Winsboro and Liberty Elihu. I haven't really looked much into that over there in Region 2 to see who's what. After this week, I'll really start paying attention to as it goes. Paradise is not a team that you shy away from over there in Region 1 as they defeated Bushland 21-17 last week. Jim Ned over Dale Hart 35-7 there in Region 1 as I just kind of lost all track of everything. But moving over into Region 3.
Yeah.
Palestine Westwood 48-28 final against Columbus. Columbus gets the win. Kind of seen the writing on the wall there. We talked about Palestine Westwood and their lack of defense last week against Hardin. And I don't see on the Facebook live feed the Westwood faithful chiming in, but maybe they are. Maybe they're there. But Columbus and Yoakum this week. Yoakum defeated Fairfield 56-26 was the final there out of District 10. Fairfield was a 4 seed that defeated Orangefield, working their way through the bracket. Yoakum was a 3 seed out of 12 3A Division I. So Yoakum still making their run, but dropping on to the bottom side of that. Franklin defeats Dieball 31-14. Hitchcock over Teague 56-14. Guys, a game y'all had firsthand view of.
Yeah, we got a very good view of that game as we broadcasted it yesterday, at Randall Reed Stadium. And it was fun seeing this Hitchcock team finally this year, right? We've been able to cover Hitchcock a couple of times over the last couple of years in the playoffs. And, Hitchcock lost their stud starting quarterback that is committed to Texas Tech to an ACL injury. But they have a senior that has stepped in that, I wouldn't say that he's a little bit above average, and he has stepped into that role really well, and he manages the game really well. A lot of athleticism on that Hitchcock team. And I would say that their defense is probably the highlight. At least it was for me. As powerful as their offense is, their defense is really, really good.
Yes, I completely agree with you, Trent. I was not to say I was surprised by the defense, but their defense stole the show yesterday and shut down what was a fantastic running attack. And, just what they were able to do solidified the view of, they defeated Columbus in district play, albeit by a point, but still got the W. And at this moment, after seeing them in person, I put them as the leader in the clubhouse to see them in Jerry World later on in December.
You know, Alex, I know you haven't seen it. I didn't send it to you, but I did send it to Trent. And I actually have Hitchcock winning the state title this year. You know, if you remember correctly, Hitchcock the last 2 years won the basketball title. And I got them winning the football title this year and probably going to win the basketball as well.
Yeah, athletic kids on both sides of the ball. And obviously some kids that play both ways as well. But it was an absolute pleasure to see that team take the field and do what they did. It puts a whole different perspective, at least for me, in terms of coming out of 3A Division I of who could take it all.
So here's the kicker.
I agree. I mean, we're going to see Hitchcock and Columbus, most likely
Friday
for that
night
rematch, right? Well,
so Friday night, Hitchcock Franklin at Randall Reed Stadium. So that was my question.
Let's talk about that first.
Trent, you already gave your thought. Alex, what's your thought over that Franklin Hitchcock game?
Trent and I have had the pleasure of doing some Franklin football games the last few years. It is a storied program. It is a program that starts in Pee Wee football with the coaches that are, on the Franklin High School team. They breed it in to their football program. They start in Pee Wee and they work it all the way through the high school level. They're all on the same page, learning that system. Now, with that said, I do not believe that this team this year is the caliber that we've seen in the past. And I believe that Hitchcock, not that it's going to be a game like we saw yesterday, but I do believe Hitchcock will move on to the next round, probably by at least a couple of scores.
Yeah, I think the defense. I think the defense for Hitchcock is going to be troublesome for this Franklin slot T. And you know, you see the score. The final was 56-14. Those 14 points didn't come until the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter, 14. Exactly.
So yeah, just you know, a lot of second and third string guys were in there for the Hitchcock defense. And I'm not trying to take away from Teague. They had a wonderful season, and they you know they made it to where they were for a reason, coming out of that district. And you got to see them against Cold Spring the week prior, and they've got a lot of big kids. I mean, they're front.
They're young too.
And their running back was, you know, they had his number. Let's put it that way.
No, they did. And let's remember, Teague is young.
And, yes.
And I brought that up because I actually got to see them 2 weeks in a row. I went and watched the Teague die ball game. Right. And Toby got cold and we had to leave. But I went and watched that game. And then behind that, obviously, the Cold Spring Teague game, and Teague was in control the entire night against the Cold Spring Trojans. Second half, Cold Spring looked like they was going to be able to start putting something together, but yet they were unable to. And Teague was able to shut them down. And then obviously the fourth quarter meltdown that Cold Spring had to allow Teague to walk away with it. Got some guys chiming in on the 599 sports page on the live feed as we was able to get the bugs worked out. As I look up over there, David White, Ray Parkinson's in there. Steve Grimalio is in there as well. He chimes in. The Columbus versus Westwood game, 48-14. When the starters came out early in the fourth quarter, the Columbus offense is unstoppable, is his opinion on Columbus. So, Steve, stay tuned to that because we're going to talk about some more of that Columbus offense as well as the Hitchcock defense here in the coming week on the 599 Sports Show as those two teams, as it kind of appears to be on a crash course of those two coming to face each other. But let's talk.
Yeah,
about,
you had that.
Go ahead.
You had that instant classic in district play. And I think if I'm both coaching staffs, you know, obviously you have to focus on this week, but the goal is definitely a rematch to show, you know, who the better team is, because you know you can talk about being young, but that Hitchcock team was very good last year as a junior laden ball club, and seeing how many seniors at the skill positions there were this year, you know, sometimes that's just how it goes. And like I said, my money is behind Hitchcock this year.
Going to be an interesting matchup coming out of Region 3 as this district starts narrowing down. Looking over into Region 4, you got Llano defeated Orange Grove 34-6 this last week. They're going to take on Goliad, who beat Marion 56-29. Edna, let's not forget about them. Look, here's the deal. Edna has pitched a shutout 2 weeks in a row as they mm-hmm. defeated San Antonio Cole this last week 48-0 against UC Randolph, who defeated Rio Hondo 39-10 this last week. So I'm going to go on a limb and say Edna gets the win this week against possibly Llano, going into the regional finals, and going to set up. Edna's going to move all the way into the regional, or excuse me, to the state semifinals, taking on a very good Hitchcock football team. As I look at Region 3, excuse me, 3A Division 1, and kind of break this bracket down. And if I went on a limb, I would need to pull my bracket up and look, and I think I have Hitchcock and Edna facing off in the regional semifinals, Trent.
No, and I mean, we talked about the Hitchcock and Columbus rematch at length. I mean, yeah, we got to go through this next week first, but man, as close as game that was, and knowing what Columbus has as a two, I mean, I'm going to be watching that game no matter where we're at. But I mean, it's so hard for me to say that Hitchcock is going to be able to beat Columbus twice in 1 year.
That's the hard part, right?
Yeah, that's as tough as it comes to beat an opponent twice in 1 year.
Well, and we're going to talk about it here in 4A Division 2, right? Western Orange Stark defeated Waco La Vega earlier on this season, but yet fall to Waco La Vega. 42-20 was the final in that game.
That got it handed to him.
Yes.
I mean, yeah. I mean, La Vega was, I mean, stout in this ball game, it seemed.
No, most definitely. And we're talking about Region 3, right? Talking about District 11, District 12, District 9, and District 10, right? Out of 4A Division 2. And West Orange Stark had defeated Sweeney early on in the bi-district round, and then had Waco La Vega in a rematch. Waco La Vega gets that win. But looking up on the other side of that bracket, you have Belleville and Silsbee. Silsbee getting the win in that game. I went to Crockett to Christmas on the Square with the wife. Something she wanted to go to that I promised her I'd go to last year, and we didn't. So I had to hold true to my word. Got to visit with Russell Wilburn with Dave Campbell's Texas High School Football. He's a photographer for them, and a good friend of ours and an avid listener of the show. But he was at that Belleville-Silsbee game, said five of the starters for Belleville were either on crutches or on one of them wheel-around deals with their leg up.
Oh, dang. And, well, I was wondering how that was. I mean, because it was an impressive win over a Belleville team that went to the finals last year, right?
Most definitely.
And
yes.
And the Silsbee team that we, you know, was the 3 seed, right, coming out of that district, weren't they?
Yes. Let's see.
The 3 seed.
Silsbee,
right?
Was the 3 seed, yes.
That, yeah, we're, and yeah, David, we're on 4A Division 2. But, you know, dang. It's just an impressive win for Silsbee, in my opinion. And the question has to be asked is, like, is Silsbee getting hot at the right time? I think we were talking about that before we started the podcast.
No, exactly. Are they getting primed up where they need to be and going to make a run? I wish we had Dirty Sanchez on the show, because you know he was at that Silsbee game last week. But very interesting to see them win that football game. And you go back and you look at they beat Brooks Arroyo 45-6, which you wouldn't expect anything less. But yet, 41-17 victory over Belleville, that's kind of a statement, in my opinion. Waco La Vega getting the win over West Orange Stark, 42-20 was the final there in Region 3, 4A Division 2. Just kind of questionable. Very big matchup for Silsbee this week, and going to be interesting to see. But if you go to the top side of that bracket, as you look, it's a total different look. A game that you was able to do, Hampshire Finette falls to Sealy, Trent and Alex. 21-17 was the final there. And Trent, talking to you on Friday night on my way home from Madisonville, it was like Hampshire Finette forgot to come out of the locker room in the second half.
Yeah, it was a pretty disappointing, you know, you can feel the disappointment in that stadium on the Hampshire Finette side. And what a crowd Hampshire Finette had. Just wanted to mention that they filled that visiting side up pretty well. But no, Hampshire Finette was leading that game 17-7 going into halftime, and even toward the tail end of the first half, when Sealy, you could just kind of see Sealy was playing a little bit harder going into the locker room, and when they came back out for the second half, the adjustments that Sealy was able to make on defense to shut down the pass attack of the Longhorns was super impressive. And it was almost like, you know, they kind of shot themselves in the foot having to burn two timeouts early in the third quarter, talking about the Longhorns. They had to burn two timeouts and then having to burn their third timeout in the fourth quarter There was a situation where the Longhorns had a 4th and 10 inside of Sealy territory, but it wasn't deep in Sealy territory. I think it was around, what, the 47-yard line, Alex?
Yeah, they were in plus territory, but not very far. They were at the 45.
Yeah, and we were, you know, Hampshire Finette was still leading the game at that point, I believe. And they had to burn. Was it that when they had to burn that third and final timeout to think about that situation?
Yes, that was the play.
So they had to burn their final timeout. Didn't end up punting it because they could have pinned Sealy pretty deep on that play. Or they could have went for it. Well, they ended up going for it. And unable to convert on 4th and long. And you're out of timeouts at that point. Sealy then drives down the field to take the lead. And I think there was, what, less than 2 minutes left on the clock in the game.
Yes.
And the Longhorns had an opportunity to go and retake the league and retake the lead and win the game. However, they got down inside, I think, towards the red zone of Sealy, faced with another 4th down and just unable to convert, and the rest is history. And it was a great game. I think it was probably the best playoff game that we've covered this year, definitely so far, just as far as excitement and being close. And Alex, you can probably elaborate a little bit more than what I just went through.
Yeah. You know, Hampshire Finette in the first half, you know, was doing what they do, right? They were both, Sealy had some defensive stands in the first half. That was, you know, what they needed to do to stay in the ball game. Craig, you know, as you put it, not coming out of the locker rooms for the second half, it wasn't anything what we expected. Sealy made adjustments at the half, and, you know, they took advantage of some opportunities, opportunities that were given to them by Hampshire Finette. You know, I think on the broadcast we mentioned it, there was some questionable calls. We had a crew out of San Antonio who had done another game the night before. You know, I don't like pinning things on refereeing. Obviously, you have to overcome obstacles. If you're Hampshire Finette, you had to overcome some obstacles there. They weren't able to. They were shut out in the second half. You have to put points up. You know, anyone who's a fan of the Houston Texans understands that it's you can't come out in the second half and not score points, which has been a norm here the last few weeks. Sealy took the lead late in the fourth quarter. And as you said, the rest is history. You know, was there some turnovers that could have been overturned the way that the play was called? Yes. But you got to make your stands. And hats off to Sealy, as they were the ones who made the plays in the second half. It was a fantastic football game. And like you said, Trent, very disappointing for the Longhorn fans. This was the team that was going to make a run, and unfortunately, they do make a second round exit. But Sealy, you've got to be really excited about Sealy. That's another young ball club, junior laden. Whether they get past this week or not, they are going to be a team to watch next year as well.
And Trent and I have talked about some young football teams, talk about Teague being young. We talk about Sealy being young. There's been several teams that we've talked about, that Bremond team that's kind of out of our reach, a young football team, Lovelady, a young football team as well. So talking about these young teams, and Hardin being another one of those young football teams that fell to Palestine Westwood in the bi-district round of the playoffs. You know, we talk about young football teams all the time, and it's becoming more and more of a topic for Trent and I on the phone going back and forth to work about these teams that are young. in Texas high school football, and it's going to be interesting as we get ready for the 2025 season. Hard to believe we're talking about that kind of is what teams are young and going to be an impactful in the 2025 football season. But running through this 4A Division II, dropping down into Region 4, you got Wimberley and Cuero this week. Going to be a really good football game as go ahead.
The Gobblers, yeah. Also on my top five mascots in the state of Texas.
Yeah, Cuero always a really good football team. Wimberley as well, the Cuero Gobblers. Sam Marcus's Bobcat Stadium, Friday night, 7 p.m. kick. And then you got Sitton in Lago Vista, Friday night at San Antonio's Heroes Stadium. That just sounds like a cool place to go call football at Heroes Stadium there in San Antonio. Jumping up into Region 1 in the regional semifinals, you got Benbrook versus Brock, both teams 11-1 at Godley's Wildcat Stadium Friday night. And Graham versus Glen Rose, Graham 11-1, Glen Rose 10-2 Friday at Mineral Wells Ram Stadium. And then over in Region 2, you got Van and Sunnydale. Van 9-3, Sunnyvale 8-4 Friday night at Mesquite's Memorial Stadium. And then Texarkana Pleasant Grove versus Carthage. Pleasant Grove 10-2, Carthage 11-1 Friday at Longview's Lobo Stadium Friday night. So that's a recap on 4A Division 1, or excuse me, 4A Division 2. As we get ready to run into the 4A Division 1, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to go 4A Division 1 all the way up through 6A. You're listening to the 590 Sports Show powered by Texas Podcast Media. We'll be back right after this.
From custom processing professional guide in Hunt's high tanning and gator merchandise, Waters Processing and Alligator Farm offers a personal experience like no other. Locally owned and operated in Anahuac, Texas since 1987, Waters has been Southeast Texas' choice for any hunting adventure need. Now offering full-service processing of gator, deer, beef, hogs, and other wild game, make Waters Processing this hunting season's one-stop shop. Go to WatersProcessing.com or call 409-267-8413.
Howdy folks, Randy here. At Randy's Rubs, it is our mission to bring you a variety of mouthwatering seasonings that are sure to make the ordinary extraordinary, to make the impossible possible. Creating memories with friends and family is what is most important to us, and we hope to be the cornerstone of your meals, making memories with the ones you love most. As all of you continue on your fall sports journey, Randy's Rubs wishes each of you an incredible season, and may each of you be an All-American. Go check us out on Amazon or at randysrubs.com. It don't suck, y'all.
Welcome back to the 590 Sports Show. Craig Irwin, Trent Hart. Craig Irwin in the Randy's Rubs hot box. Trent Hart down there in the Porter's Processing Swamp box. And then the other name you see up there on the screen there, if you're watching on Facebook Live, Alex Outram in the swamp box as well. Joining in with us with Anahuac Sports Live and broadcaster extraordinaire. He's been doing broadcasting Texas high school football since before Trent and I ever graduated high school. So
before I graduated high school too.
I mean, that's what's impressive. And, having Alex on the show, getting his input and, as no show Toby unable to make it in for the second week in a row here on the 590 Sports Show, wouldn't expect anything less. I mean, expectations are low, right, Trent?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I mean, he gave us some good insight on that Thursday night game, but hadn't heard a peep out of him all weekend. I think he's been taking care of stuff at home, and you know, trying to get some of those honey-do list items probably taken care of.
Well, the kids are done playing football.
Yeah,
they're kind of getting back in rodeo mode and all that good stuff. So I can't knock him for that. And that's no. The thing next week, this coming week, Thanksgiving week, we obviously have Thanksgiving coming up, but Thursday, but yet Friday, possibly go do some football games. And Sunday we have a rodeo, Case and Emery, and we'll be gone, rodeoing up in Crockett this weekend. So I got a full week ahead of me, but not, I'm just saying, I'm not opposed to going to Louisiana to do a Texas high school football game. That'd be pretty sweet. So you do what you need to do, Trent. Talk to the boss, figure out what's up, and then we can go do what we got to do. So diving into 4A Division One, Region One, we're just going to kind of run through these games because I want to get to the 6A because there's some really good games coming up. Lampasas 10-2 versus Canyon West Plains 9-3 Friday at Sweetwater's Mustang Bowl. Canyon Randall 11-1 versus Stephenville 11-1 Friday at Snyder's Tiger Stadium.
That's going to be a good one, by the way.
Yes, it is. It's going to be a really good football game. I wish I had some time prior to the show to really dig into this one, but definitely looking forward to this football game. Region 2, Sulphur Springs 10-2 versus Alvarado 12-0 Friday at Mesquite's Memorial Stadium, 7:30 kickoff. Salina 12-0 versus Aubrey 8-4 Friday at Denton's Collins Stadium. I look for Salina to go ahead and move on past there.
Oh, yeah.
Into the bread and butter. A team that I did not think that we would be talking about in the regional semifinals is in the regional semifinals. They're going to be playing Friday night at Corsicana's Tiger Stadium. Navasota will be taking on Kilgore. Kilgore 10-2, Navasota 7-5. Alex, if you'll remember, earlier on this season, Kilgore knocked off Carthage in a pre-district game.
Yes, sir.
Going to be a big game for Navasota. Don't see them going past this one.
What seed was Navasota?
3 or 4 seed.
The Navasota was the 3 seed out of 12 4A.
Yeah. So the reason why I bring this up, Trey Allen, which left Kirbyville late in the season, got the Navasota job. Now here he is in the regional semifinals playing football. Aided by
pretty cool.
The bracket was his friend going through this, yes. Right? Bracket was his friend, but at the end of the day, you still had to win football games to get to where they're at. And we weren't talking, if I remember correctly, Toby kind of threw a joke or two out there about Navasota. But here they are making a pretty good playoff run. Dropping in the other regional semifinal game, Tyler Chapel Hill 9-3 versus Stafford 8-4 Friday 2 p.m. kickoff. If you're looking for somewhere to go Friday afternoon, like the in-laws are really getting to you and you want somewhere to go close, you can go right there to Randall Reed Stadium in New Caney and pick up a good football game and watch a really good.
That is going to be a good football game.
Yeah.
Chapel Hill travels very well.
Yes, they do.
A little bit of a down year for them coming out of the third seed of 12-4A. Stafford, the champion, you know, I feel like Chapel Hill can take this football game. Stafford, they eked out a win last week, but I feel that Chapel Hill matches up well with Stafford, and it would not surprise me to see them in the regional finals against presumptively Kilgore.
Now, in obviously a district rematch, right? Kilgore versus Chapel Hill. Kilgore got the win early on in district play. Between these two, I don't have the final pulled up right now, but as you said, Stafford's geeking.
It wasn't close. It wasn't. It was 42-7 Kilgore.
Was that what the final was? Okay, so Stafford squeaking out a win, 14-13 over Longview Pine Tree, which defeated Bridge City, and so it's going to be. I think this is a game Chapel Hill's going to win to set up, as you mentioned. A Kilgore Chapel Hill, bar any major injuries for Kilgore against Navasota. I think we're going to be looking at that matchup and going to be a really interesting matchup if that comes to fruition, which as it should. And next week, we're going to talk about those district rematches, right, as we progress on here deep into the regional finals. There's going to be a handful of district rematches that we're going to talk about and really be able to break those down. But moving into Region 4, Lavernia versus Port Lavaca Calhoun, Lavernia 9-3, Port Lavaca Calhoun 7-5, 2 p.m. at Katie's Legacy Stadium, and then Bay City 11-1 versus Corpus Christi Kyallan 10-2 Friday at Converse Rutledge Stadium, Friday night 7 p.m.
How about Bay City dropping 87 on Hidalgo?
That's freaking crazy. Absolutely
not
crazy.
Not to be outdone by San Antonio Davenport, who dropped 91 on Maynard New Tech.
That's stupid numbers. That's like six man numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane. But no, that I think Bay City's for real. And could definitely see them in the regional finals. Cal Allen, one of those teams that continuously makes runs in the playoffs. But Bay City has played very, very well this year. I think this is a good matchup for them, and I see them moving on.
Let's jump over to 5A Division 2 real quick. I'm going to run through Region 1, Region 2 quickly, and then we'll pump the brakes, talk about Region 3. Lovejoy versus Anna, both teams 9-3 Friday at Melissa's Kenny Deal Stadium. Argyle versus Prosper Walnut Grove, both teams 11-1, Friday at Prosper's Children's Health Stadium. Over in Region 2, South Oak Cliff versus Marshall, as they defeated Huntsville this last week, 38-7. South Oak Cliff versus Marshall, both teams 10-2, Friday at Tyler's TMF Rose Stadium. And then Texarkana, Texas versus PNG, Texarkana High, 12-0.
Probably the best game in all of playoffs.
Most
I would
definitely.
Think.
Yes. Versus PNG.
We'll get to 6-8. That is a fantastic matchup this week.
There's several really good matchups in 6A, and we're going to dive into them here in just a little bit. Texarkana, Texas High versus PNG at Natchitoches, Louisiana, Turpin Stadium. That, I'm telling you guys, just I'm telling you. But Alex, we kind of talked about, Toby brought it up, and we roll into Region 3. Richmond Randall versus Brenham. This is the first game that Richmond Randall's really going to have to play. They defeated Elgin last week 79-0. And if you go through their playoff bracket, if you look at it, and let me pull it up real quick. But if you go look at it, so Richmond Randall defeated Belton 63-7. They defeated Elgin 79-0. Their first matchup is this week against Brenham.
No, you're 100% right. And, you know, just doing some number crunching and looking over those schedules, you have to put the emphasis on Brenham this week. Their schedule has been tougher. Their district is tougher. And I foresee Brenham moving past Richmond Randall into the regional finals this week.
Well, as long as you've been following high school football, Alex, and I think you can take the years you've been following and add mine and Trent's years up, and you still got us beat. But when's the last time that we had a talk about Brenham being in the regional quarterfinals? It's been a long time.
I've always remembered Brenham as a baseball school. But, you know, the football team coming along and really playing well this year, it does seem like it's been some time. But this is a team who knocked off Tyler Chapel Hill. They knocked off Liberty Hill just last week, which is a very tough matchup. You know, ran through Waco, Rudder, Ellison, University, and Belton. You know, the numbers show what they've been able to do. And like I said, I think this is a good matchup for them, and I think they defeat Randall.
What, and you go back and you look at Brenham's schedule, their one loss was against Gilmer. 51-37 was the final in that game. So,
and they opened up the season with a very impressive win over Huntsville.
Yes, most definitely. And let's not forget,
in 2013, they went to the finals. And then in 2019, they went three rounds deep. So not too shabby. I mean, they got a rich history. But I mean, early 1900s for this Brenham team.
Yeah. But, you know, since, you know, the last decade plus, it's not one of those teams that you think of to make those runs deep into the playoffs. And I think this is, you know, this is a good year for them to go four rounds.
There's a trifecta of games going on Friday at NRG Stadium. First one starting at 10 a.m. Fort Bend Marshall versus Iowa Colony. Fort Bend Marshall 10-2 versus Iowa Colony 11-1. They're at Houston's NRG Stadium. They're in Region 3. So if you just wanted to really get away from the in-laws and go sit back and watch Texas high school football for a full day, NRG's a place to go. And we're going to talk about some other games as we get up into the bigger classifications. But that's the first of the trifecta on Friday going on there at NRG Stadium. Moving into Region 4, 5A Division 2, you got Alamo Heights versus Corpus Christi Miller at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, 7 p.m. Friday night. And then Victoria West versus Bernie, 6 p.m. Friday at Seguin's Matador Stadium, if you wanted to go catch one of those. Jumping up into 5A Division 1, Region 1, Richland versus Denton Ryan. Denton Ryan 11-1, Richland 10-2, Saturday at Frisco's Ford Center. I've been there. That's a pretty neat place to go watch football games. It's a complete indoor stadium to go watch Texas high school football. We went and watched Huntsville and Marshall up there several years ago, and a lot of fun going and watching that one. Aledo versus Amarillo Tuscosa. Is that how I say that?
Tuscosa.
Friday at Snyder's Tiger Stadium, 1 p.m. kickoff. Region 2, Frisco Lone Star, 11-1 versus Midlothian, 10-2. Friday at North Richland Hills, Birdville Fine Arts Athletic Complex. Highland Park versus Frisco Ready at Friday night at Frisco's Ford Center. Dropping down to Region 3. College Station 11-1 versus Angleton 11-1 Friday at Shenandoah's Wood Forest Stadium, just right down the road from the house here. Going to be a heck of a matchup there. Both teams 11-1 overall. LaPorte 9-3 versus College Station A&M Consolidated Friday at Cypress Cyfair FCU Stadium. And that is probably one of the nicest stadiums that you can go to and watch Texas high school football.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember when that stadium was being built and the amount of detail that they put into it, not only with the locker rooms and the press box and everything that kind of goes along with it. Fantastic venue to watch football. And, you know, LaPorte has had a good season, but I think it comes to an end. A&M Consolidated has played so well this year, and I believe they'll be moving on.
So, Alex, since you've been there, Trent has never been to that stadium. Is that not a perfect bucket list stadium?
No, it is a lot of fun to do a broadcast from there. But you know, not only because the venue, but the people who run it also are very friendly. They take care of all the needs that you could use. Definitely a great place to do a broadcast from.
Dropping down to Region 4 in the regional semifinals, Corpus Christi Flower Buff versus Bluff versus San Antonio Southwest. San Antonio Southwest undefeated Saturday at San Antonio's Alamo Dome, 4 p.m. kickoff. New Braunfels versus Smithson Valley, 10-2. Friday at San Antonio's Alamo Dome, 11 a.m. kickoff in that one. Jumping up. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know, there's some teams in this particular bracket that you just rinse, repeat, right?
Yes.
That's the Alitos, the Denton Ryan, the Smithson Valley. You know, those are your teams that you just see year after year after year making runs, and here they go again.
That you are 1,000% correct. Jumping up into 6A Division 2, we're going to talk about some more of those teams that just rinse and repeat. Crowley versus Denton Choir. Crowley 8-4, Denton Guyer 9-3, Saturday at Grapevine's Mustang Stadium. South Lake Carroll versus Louisville Hebron, Friday at Irving's Ellis Stadium. They're out of Region 1. Moving into Region 2, this is where it gets real familiar. DeSoto versus Willis. DeSoto 10-2, Willis 12-0, Saturday at Frisco's Ford Center. Another great venue to go watch football. We talked about it a while ago, but going to be a big matchup for the Willis Wildcats, trying to stay perfect and stretch on to the regional finals. Longview versus Klein Collins. Longview 10-2, Klein Collins 7-5 at Lufkin's Abe Martin Stadium. Over in region. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to mention Klein Collins going three rounds deep as the second place team out of 15-5A.
Yes.
15-6A.
Big run for Klein Collins. And I talked about them Klein schools early on. I was talking about Klein Oak early on. Some great rich environments there with those Klein schools, talking Texas high school football and with what they do. And they're a lot of fun to go watch. Moving into the semifinals round of Region 3, Katie Jordan versus Summer Creek. Summer Creek 10-2, Katie Jordan 11-1, 6 p.m. Friday at NRG Stadium. Definitely a game to go keep an eye on. Summer Creek, we remember early on going through their first four or five games, they had outscored their opponents 215-0. So let's not forget that. Coming out of a very stacked district between with Atascocita, North Shore, and believe it or not, it's hard to believe that we're bringing this up. Toby talked about it early on, but Kingwood in the regional semifinals since the first time, what was it, the 90s that we talked about, Trent?
Yeah, since Humble ISD expanded, the two schools who were really hurt the most were Humble, the original two, Humble and Kingwood.
Right.
Kingwood putting together such an impressive run this year. I've told Trent multiple times, taking all biases out of the conversation, but in my opinion, 23-6A is the best district in Texas. You can just go back to last year where you had all four teams match up in the regional finals.
Yes.
You had Summer Creek taking on CE King. You had Atascocita and North Shore in those regional finals. And I can easily see that happening again this year. Kingwood is going to have a tougher time taking on Strake Jesuit, but there is a chance that you could see it again this year where all four teams match up again in the regional finals.
Well, that'd be an incredible storyline.
I kind of looked at this, and I think Kingwood has a very good opportunity to beat Strake Jesuit this year. I really do. Unfortunate for them to have to possibly face Summer Creek right behind that, but definitely something that we're going to be looking at in the 6A Division II out of Region 3, because it's 1,000% possible that could happen, as Kingwood making an absolute historic run for that program since, like we said, back in the 90s. Was the last time they made this kind of a run. So it's going to be very interesting. Dropping down into Region 4, Austin Vandergriff versus Cibolo Steel.
Cibolo Steel.
Yeah, Friday at San Antonio's Alamo Dome, 3 p.m. kickoff. And then San Antonio Harlan versus New Braunfels Canyon, Friday, 1:30 p.m. kickoff at San Marcos Bobcat Stadium. They're in 6A Division II. Jumping into our final brackets.
Finally.
All the way up here at the top, 6A Division I, Region I. Talk about this. North Crowley, 12-0, undefeated versus Copel, 12-0. Mansfield Newsom Stadium. Somebody's going home a loser out of this game. And it's crazy to have what a perfect season going into the regional semifinals, and somebody's going to go home that's probably worthy of winning going and playing for a state title. Euless Trinity 11-1 versus Allen 12-0 Friday at South Lakes Dragon Stadium. over in Region 2, big matchup. Duncanville versus the Woodland Saturday at Hutto Memorial Stadium. Duncanville going to get the win there, in my opinion.
But yes.
Huge for the Woodlands getting this far, as last year they got shut out a little early.
Yeah, the Woodlands went through a little dip for their in when you talk about a dip for the Woodlands, you know, it's not making the playoffs for, or not going deep in the playoffs for a couple years. You know, they kind of got the program back on track. Unfortunately, they run into Duncanville, which is just a machine. And nonetheless, I'd still expect a good matchup out of that game.
I do as well. Waxahachie versus Cypress Bridgeland. Waxahachie 9-3, Cypress Bridgeland 11-1 at Pflugerfields, the field. Great stadium there, as the CEO Case went to his first Texas high school football game up there, playoff football game up there at Pflugerfields, the field. So great venue up there. Dropping into Region 3. Now we're getting into Alex, his meat and potatoes. Katy versus North Shore. Katy 11-1, North Shore 12-0. 2 p.m. kickoff Friday at Houston's NRG Stadium. A game you want to go to, a stadium, a venue that you want to go to just to sit back and watch three great Texas high school football games. Going to be a good one.
Yeah, Ray Parkinson and I made the trip out to NRG to catch a triple header last year. Always fun to do. North Shore has had Katy's number for so long. You talked about in Region 1 that particular matchup. Katy is another team that you can put on that list year after year that could make a run to the state championship. Unfortunately, they run into North Shore in the regional semifinals year after year. And, you know, this particular matchup, you've had the one, when we'll get to it here shortly, the one loss in Atascocita's record is North Shore.
Right.
Well, the one loss in Katy's record is Atascocita. So, you know, when you look at Katy, they completely dominate going through district play, except when they played Jordan. That was the closest district game they had. They won that game, but, and we say only won it by 10, where most of their other victories were by 20 points or more. But such a fun matchup. You never know. Is this a year that Katy breaks through and knocks off North Shore? It could be. But at the same time, North Shore, with their high-powered offense, the quarterback has been there since he was a freshman, and just so much firepower on offense. I do expect North Shore to move on in that ballgame.
So, Katy, in something that we don't talk about enough, but I say we don't talk about it enough, but Katy's biggest nemesis is their own school district, right? Is as much as what that school district has grown, and as they keep adding high schools in there to accommodate the growth there, that's what's made Katy, what's pushed Katy down into the bracket to where you're not seeing them in those state championship games like we were in the early 2000s. Would you agree with that, Alex?
No, absolutely. You know, the Cypress schools have struggled with it. The Klein schools struggled with it in the early 2000s with their growth. It just happened, and to a lesser extent in the early 2000s also, Humble ISD.
Yep.
Dealt with that same thing. Atascocita didn't come into this prominence until early 2010s, mid-2010s.
Say in the last decade or so.
Yeah. So, you know, that when you see these school districts grow so much, you're 100% correct in that it is an issue with growth. But once they figure it out, as we see now, it can become something that just makes you stronger.
No, most definitely. Moving on into Region 3, another semifinal game. Fulcher 12-0 versus Atascocita 11-1 at Houston's Thorne Stadium. And a game, obviously, you're going to keep an eye on, Alex, Friday afternoon, 2 p.m. kickoff.
Yes.
As another Humble school playing.
You know, the thing about Atascocita is the state champion in the relay track.
Yes.
And all four of those kids just happen to play football. So there is so much speed on this Eagles football team. Again, if you're a high school football fan, you're probably excited to see yet another edition of North Shore and Atascocita there in the regional finals.
Most definitely.
And if you see that game, right? I mean, how many years in a, if North Shore comes out and they go to the final again, are we going to see Duncanville North Shore again for the state final this year?
I can't help but assume so. I don't think anyone comes out of Region 4 to make it to the state championship game. Looking at Region 1, you always have to look at Allen, but Duncanville's had their number. But with Duncanville being in Region 2, I believe it's Region 1 versus 4 this year and 2 versus 3. So I don't think it can be a Duncanville-North Shore matchup again.
No, it'll be
because of the realignment.
No, actually, with the realignment, the way I'm seeing it right now is you got out of Region 3, you'll have Region 3, Region 4, Region 1, Region 2, right? And you got Duncanville probably going to right the ship through Region 2 to face North Crowley or Allen, in my opinion, they're out of Region 1. So that's kind of what you're looking at. You know what I mean?
I put my money there on the Allen Eagles to get out of Region 1 to, again, face Duncanville. Allen's another team who's been trying to break through. They've been to some state championship games, but they've run into Duncanville.
Yeah.
So, you know, just like Atascocita and the teams out of Region 4, especially Lake Travis, my assumption is that you see – Lake Travis versus North Shore in the semifinal. About a decade ago, we were talking about Austin Westlake making all those runs. It's now kind of shifted towards Lake Travis. The Atascocita North Shore matchup is just a fun one to watch. That match, that district game came down to the wire with North Shore winning 27-23. So, you know, and even looking, you know, we talked about Summer Creek in Division II. Summer Creek put up a huge fight against Atascocita, 42-39.
Yep.
They fell to Atascocita. But that's a fun bracket. The 6A Division I's just so stacked.
The junior college bracket.
And always fun football to watch.
Yeah, I look at it as the junior college bracket. And out of Region 4, you're looking at Lake Travis versus San Antonio East Central. And then on the bottom side of that bracket, Austin Westlake versus Buda Johnson. You're going to look at Westlake versus Lake Travis in the regional finals. And as you said, Lake Travis probably going to move on to see a Lake Travis North Shore state semifinal matchup. So, it's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be fun to watch, and I love this time of year, Texas high school football, especially when we get into the week of Thanksgiving. And as we progress on, I'm super stoked about this week in Texas high school football and figuring out where we're going to go. Stay tuned to the 590N Sports page. We'll keep you updated there, and WAC Sports Live as well. Facebook page will it'll be updated on both of them with where we're going to go this weekend watching Texas high school football in the regional semifinals of the playoffs. So it's my favorite time of year. Not only do we get to eat a lot of good food, but we get to watch some really good Texas high school football, guys.
Nah, it's going to be a lot of fun. Guys, I really appreciate y'all inviting me on. As you said, I'll be on whenever I can be and chop it up with you guys.
Most definitely. It's been a lot of fun. Sure. Trent, any closing thoughts, comments, questions,
not
concerns?
Not really. Just a decision to make on what to do for this coming week. Like you said, just stay tuned to all the socials and we'll find out what's happening.
Figure out where we're going to be. Y'all have a great night. And we appreciate everybody tuning in. Everybody on the Facebook Live feed as well. As who's listening to the podcast here on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, all the little whatever out there. So we appreciate y'all tuning in to the 590 Sports Show. Let's not forget our sponsors, Randy's Rubs, Porter's Processing, and Alligator Farm. Bullfrog Environmental, NOX Sports Live, 590 Sports Show. And don't forget about our good friends over at Bullet Grill House, 401 Highway 156, Point Blank, Texas. Go in there, order the 590 Sports Wrap. It's officially on the menu. Y'all have a great night. We will see you at the game.